I pray that today, people who are listening, whether it's just one person, or five people, or hundreds of people, or thousands of people, it doesn't matter. The word of God is powerful. And even if it was just one person on this earth, Jesus still would have come to that one person. And here, I'm going to continue on sins of public worship or sins of church worship. And last time we were going on lukewarmness. And if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 15, Jesus said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee." He's going to vomit those people out of his mouth. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." And here, I think this scripture really relates to the country that we live in, the United States, Europe, and many materialistic countries. And those people who are rich, and those people who are comfortable, and those people who are wealthy, those people who have a lot of materialism, and when they think that they have everything, and this was a lukewarm church where Jesus was speaking to. You know, and when you have all the comforts and all your needs been met, and then there's a lukewarmness that creeps into your soul, because you have all the excitement to the world, but there is a coldness towards God. And Jesus said, you know, if you think about it, lukewarmness, if you feel, you know, you don't want too hot, if you want to take a shower, and you don't want the water to be too hot, and you don't want the water to be too cold, you want just enough that will be very nice for your flesh. It's the same thing. The flesh wants both sides. The flesh wants to serve God just enough, not too much, not too hot. At the same time, the flesh wants to serve the world. And Jesus said, those lukewarm, those people, he's going to vomit them. Jonathan Edwards said, "Lukewarmness in religion is abominable, and zeal is an excellent grace. Yet above all other Christian virtues, this needs to be strictly watched and searched, for it is that which corruption, and particularly pride and human passion, is exceedingly apt to mix unobserved. And it is observable that there never was a time of great reformation." You know, lukewarmness is something that we need to observe. We need to search in our heart and see, am I lukewarm? God, am I lukewarm? Am I in a sin? And a great reformation, a revival, can never start with a cold heart, with lukewarmness. And neutrality and lukewarmness, staying the middle road, is not right before God. It's not consistent in taking the narrow road. The love of sin and the love of the world cannot go together. There has to be consistency. And Christ needs to be better than the world. "He that is not with us," Jesus said, "he that is not with me is against me." So either you got to be in Christ or you got to be in the world. You cannot be in the world and at the same time you cannot be in Christ. And, you know, and this is what is being spoken here, we saw in Revelation 3:15 and 16. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 39, it says that, "As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go you serve every one of his idol, and hereafter also if you will hearken unto me, but pollute you my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols." And here we see the Israelites, they are serving the idols, at the same time they are serving God. And God saying, you're polluting his holy name. Remember, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 7, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There are those people, they are ever learning, they are always learning. They know the scriptures, but never come into the heart. It always goes to the head, but never inside the heart. Heart is the one that brings the reformation. You know, C.H. Spurgeon said, the church of God at the present age is cold and lukewarm, lifeless compared to what it used to be. Wow! Spurgeon said this in the 1800s. And here we are, over 200 years later. If 200 years before, if the church was lifeless and cold and lukewarm, what about today, after 200 years later? Oh, my friend, are you lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? Are you serving the world? Are you lukewarm when you're enjoying your worldly pleasures? There are many who are enjoying the worldly pleasures and they are excited in the world, but they're not lukewarm in the world. Are you lukewarm when you are laughing and cracking jokes on worldly things? No! You're hot and excited when you crack jokes. You're hot and excited when you're laughing. What about Christ Jesus? When you come to Him, you're falling asleep. It's boring. Christ is boring to you. You have no desire for Christ. You have no hunger for Christ. But when you serve Satan, oh my goodness, you're so excited. You're so zealous. But when you come to Christ, you become lukewarm. That is an abominable sin where you need to repent before the Holy God. What about forgetfulness of God? Forgetfulness of God. Do you forget the worldly songs that you love to listen during the week? No. There are many of you are listening to worldly song, unspiritual songs. And many of you will say, oh, but there's nothing wrong with those songs. Yes, but you are excited in those worldly songs. They're nothing to do with Christ. And they are listening and they are excited and you don't forget those songs. But do you forget to sing songs to the Lord? Do you forget to sing hymns to the Lord during the week? Do you forget to sing Christ-centered, lovely songs that His ears are going to be so excited to hear what your heart had to say? Are you forgetful the beautiful places that you travel and visited? No, you always remember the beautiful places that you travel, you visited. You have pictures of them. But do you forget the scriptures that you have visited? Yeah, do you forget the scriptures that you have visited in the Bible? What you heard during the sermons? I'm bringing the comparison here between the flesh and the spirit, because the flesh is always at war. Do you forget your husband, your wife, your relatives, your friends? No, you don't forget them. But do you forget the Lord after church when you're at home? The love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, that is the most important thing. Love thy God. The commandment is to love God most above everything else. But many are not loving God. God is secondary or third or at the very bottom in their list. That's a sin. Do you forget the person who really loved you and a person who really helped you? No, you won't. But how many times you forget the Lord Jesus when it comes to the worldly things? How many times you forget Jesus? Because He's the one who took away the sin. He's the one who came and died and took that sin and gave a new life to you and cleansed your sins and washed your sins and gave the Holy Spirit. You can serve Him so you can go to heaven. But many have forgotten Him. Do you forget to turn on your favorite TV show, favorite TV show, or to watch your favorite sports? Do you forget to read His precious words where the prophets and the apostles shed their blood to write the word of God? Oh my goodness. Many people, they forget God so soon. They hear the word of God and so soon they forget Him. This is unbelievable. This shows the power of sin and the power of Satan in your life. Do you forget to eat? People are always thinking of food. What shall we eat? What do I have in my refrigerator? I don't have food. You're thinking about your belly. Look at the restaurants every corner. People will never forget food. How often has some of you have forgotten to eat and meditate His word? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He said in the book of John that His word is life. Do you forget to enjoy the things of the world? Many of you are enjoying the things of this world. How often have you forgotten to rejoice in the Lord? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. This is the one that gives you strength. Rejoicing in the Lord, not in the world. Do you forget to think of the world? No, many are always thinking of the world, but you don't think of God. Do you forget to thank people? How often have you forgotten to thank God? You know, here, there are so many sins in the church itself that people are coming to listen. It's just hypocrisy. They're just listening and soon after they leave church, they've forgotten everything. This is the forgetfulness of God. Just like the Israelites, when things were going bad, they were crying to God and God gave them food, God gave them water, even in the desert. But when they were satisfied, when their bellies were filled with food and their thirst was gone, then later they forgot God. It's the same thing. It's the same worldly spirit. It's the same Satan that is operating in the world. And many have a wandering heart. And Spurgeon said, let us confess every degree and form of backsliding, every wandering heart, every decline of love, every wavering faith, every flagging of zeal, every dullness of desire, every failure of confidence. Now, I'm coming to the other topic where we see the sins of church worship. One of the great sins, what you find in the church, is sleepiness. One of the great sins, what you find in the church when people gather together to listen to the sermon, is sleepiness. This is one of the deadliest things in the church. It's sleepiness and just dreaming of something else, or wandering off your heart somewhere else when the pastor is preaching. Many Christians readily falls into this state. Many of you are watching Saturday night movies, going to sleep late, or enjoying the things of the world on Saturday night. Not even praying for your pastor who is diligently studying on Saturday morning or Saturday during the day to give you the spiritual food. You're not even thinking about that. And you wake up late on Sunday morning. You go to church. And sometimes you get late to church. That's not right. Then, in front of the sermon, you keep nodding before the pastor. Your nodding and sleepiness in the church will grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Just imagine, okay? Think, stop thinking everything else. Now just imagine a sleepy angel before the throne of Almighty God. Or an angel nodding in sleepiness in front of His Majesty of Heaven. What an insult to God that would be, a sleepy angel nodding before God Almighty. Oh, what an insult it would be, an angel falling asleep before God in majesty. In His majesty. What an insult is that? This is a great sin before His holy throne. You know, sometimes you go to public prayer meetings and people start to pray and you go one by one and suddenly you hear somebody snoring. Oh, what an insult that to God. Don't even pray if you are snoring. You need to fall at His feet and ask forgiveness. Put off shoes from off thy feet, God told Moses, because the place you are standing is holy ground. Remember when God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, what did He say? Put off your shoes, where you are standing is holy ground. Holy ground, you cannot come to holy ground with drowsiness, sleepiness, and nodding before the presence of the King. Spurgeon said, surely it would be most hypocritical. It would be most hypocritical and insulting behavior if they should be detected in a sleepy condition before God. Let us do it in fervorness of spirit and zeal. We cannot praise God in sleepiness, by nodding. And you need to mourn. You need to mourn before Him. You need to fall at His feet and ask forgiveness. Spurgeon also said, surely if we treated our Heavenly Father as we should, every sacred passion would glow in our hearts like a furnace. That's how it should be, that when we come to the throne of the majesty of God to hear His precious word, our souls should glow like a furnace before Him. Sleepiness in the church. If you are sleepy in the church, how can you see the beauty of Christ? How can you enjoy the passions and the spiritual delights of Jesus Christ if you are sleepy and nodding? You cannot have a holy joy when you are nodding in sleepiness before the throne of God. It is a sin. It is a sin. It's disrespectful to God. Sleepiness is a state of danger. It's a state of backsliding. It's a state of going back to the world. Remember, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25, it says, but while men slept, His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went His way. And many are listening to the sermon, but their hearts are far away from the sermon. And many are listening, but their eyes are sleepy. Their hearts are sleepy. And many are nodding because the enemy has already come. This is a spiritual battle. When you come to church, it's a spiritual battle because the enemy doesn't want you to hear the word of God. And he will come and he will sow tears in your heart so you will fall asleep. Oh, how you need to pray before you come to the holy throne of God. Remember the five virgins who were wise. Who were five were wise and the other five were foolish. Why? Because Matthew 25 verse 5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Yes, many are in a slumbering spirit today. And many are awakened to sin, excited in the world, but sleepy towards God. Many are excited to the world. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 34, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and not to sin. Many are not awakened to God. Many are not awakened to the word of God. Many are not awakened into prayer, into winning souls, but many are sinning in the world. You cannot have both. Then, if you have both, enjoying one thing, enjoying the worldly things, and sleeping in the church, nodding in the church, at the same time, praying and saying this, and reading the Bible, then, you know, it becomes what? Tradition. It's a ritual where God hates. Many are wide awake when it comes to their favorite TV programs, but they are cold and sleepy when it comes to the throne of His Majesty. You need to mourn and repent before His great majesty of heaven. No wonder you cannot taste the sweetness of Christ. No wonder you cannot see the beauty of Christ. No wonder you cannot enjoy His fellowship. No wonder you don't have a passion to win souls. Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 12 verse 11, not slothful in business, and fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know what? Sleepiness is like a cousin to death. Because sleepiness, next to sleepiness is what? Death. Yeah. And many, if you are sleepy, then you are backsliding fast. Remember, zeal is also spoken as a very essential part of our Christianity. Where true saints, they have a zeal. It is spoken of great things that Christ, He had in His will. And remember, as the word of God says in Timothy chapter, I think it's 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, there's a zealous of good work. There's a zeal. That zeal is should be there in every Christian who has a heart hunger and a great thirst and a passion for souls, and they will enjoy the sweetness of Christ, see the beauty of Christ, fall before the majesty of His throne, and there's a zeal before Him. As this is where Christ, He Himself, you know, we had a zeal for the world before. We have a zeal and a great desire for the world before. And we were sinners before. But Christ, He came and He gave Himself for us. So He redeemed us from every iniquity, every sin. And He purified us, cleansed us, and gave us a new heart. Put the Holy Spirit upon us so that we will be a peculiar people, different than the world, that we will be zealous unto good works. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that this sermon will go to every corner of the world, Lord. Every single individual who are listening, Lord God Almighty, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict and encourage, rebuke. And Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, that in these last days, that you will bring a people who will have a fire for you, Lord. And Lord, if there's any person who is listening to this sermon and not being convicted or just compromising this sermon in any ways, Lord, that you will deal with that person, Lord. Oh Father, we pray, Lord, that you will bring a holy people unto you, Lord. The people that will be holy and love you and have a passion for you. And Lord, if anybody is still struggling in this area of sleepiness, in nodding before the pastor, or in any slothfulness, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that they will truly fall at your feet. They will cry unto you. And they will mourn before you, Lord. That they will not be able to enjoy their next meal even until they truly confess their sins, that they will truly repent, Lord. We pray, Lord, God Almighty, that you be glorified and magnified, Lord. That you will separate your people from the worldly people, and also at the same time that you will give a passion for those who are your people to go out and reach through the world and bring them and give them the good news of Jesus Christ. And people will have a passion and a desire to give tracts and to witness and to preach and to bring people from darkness